mind is searching every day in quest of something new. For I found the living way, the path of pleasure true. I've discovered the way of gladness. I've discovered relief from sadness. Here's a happiness without alloy. I've discovered the fount of blessing.
And I've discovered his living word.
'Twas the greatest of all discoveries when I found Jesus, my Lord.
I found the pearl of greatest price, eternal life so fair. 'Twas through my Savior's sacrifice I found his jewel rare.
For we've discovered the way of gladness.
We've discovered the way of joy.
We've discovered relief from sadness. Here's a happiness without alloy. We've discovered the fount of blessing.
We've discovered his living word.
'Twas the greatest of all discoveries when we found Jesus, our Lord.
Amen.
Has been around the world a few times, amen. And I hope you enjoy. We're so glad to have him. Thank you so much for being here with us, brother.
Glad to be here. Glad you're here. I used to have a teacher in college. He said, "Are y'all there?" That's a very important question. You came to the right place. And I've got an idea. There's no other place like this place around this place. And so this has got to be the place. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I am going to ask you a question. How many invited somebody to come to church with you today?
I didn't hear that, brother.
How many invited somebody to come to church with you today? Don't have to raise your hands. Okay. You don't have to do that. Raise your hands. Where all your hair go, Terry? Huh? Join the exclusive crowd. That's right. We're delighted to be here. We're delighted to be here. We had to change our schedule a little bit. Oh, about 12 years ago, we had, I think it was 5 or 6 meetings that had to be changed. And it broke my heart. We had never missed a service because of travel, because of weather, because of broken cars or anything like that. Never. Never, never. In the first, well over 25 years of evangelism. And then what happened was the doctor said to me, "You're going to have your heart fixed." So I had a couple of bypasses, or 3 or 4, I've forgotten how many it was now. And my wife had to call and say, "We can't come." I believe 5 or 6 churches back there. Boy, that was tough. That was tough. I'd never done that before. Never done that before. And this time, we're all ready to go over to Germany. And I think we had 6 meetings all lined up. And my wife went to the doctor, and he put that stethoscope back here and then over here on this side. And I said, or she said, I can't remember, you hear something you don't like. He says, "Well, there's a murmur there." Well, what led to, she was all scheduled for knee surgery, but he crossed that one out and said, "You got to have your heart first." And so then we had to call Germany and say, "Have to be some other time." And that's not fun. It's just not fun to do that. But our lives are in God's hands. And so that's the way we look at it. You can't look at it any differently than that. So, we're glad to be here. We're glad to be here. This is one, I think, of about 11 meetings that we swing on, every 2 years, come out west this way, and your pastor's always kind to let us come, and we're glad to be here. And we are praying the Lord will do something in these days. Do something in these days. My son just called me yesterday. He's been guiding up at, is it Heron? Heron. You know where Heron is? He used to live in Heron right there. And he's up there with an outfitter, and he's guiding up there. He's been up there. And so they had 2 weeks of only two people coming in to hunt bear. They just got over archer season for elk, and he's takes a hunter out every day. And then, so he's down in Florida. He came back, and he's going to visit his kids, and he'll have some trips down there. He's a charter boat fisherman down there. And he came through to see us. So we were glad to do that. It was unusual. But we thank the Lord for all of our kids. We got five kids. We got 14 grandkids. And don't have any great-grandkids yet. But we're expecting some sometime, I hope. And you got some great-grandkids, too. I bet you some of you have. I can look you white hair, and I know what's going on out there. So we're just delighted to be here. Thank God for it. And we pray that the Lord will send us a revival. Tonight we'll use our revival song, Revive Me, Lord Jesus. Revive me, I pray. Stir me to witness to the world today. Give me compassion. Lost, dying man. Revive me, Lord Jesus. Revive me, I pray. And so then we got ready, and then they have to operate on our heart. And the doctor says there's three things. We're going to have to replace the valve. We can give you a mechanical valve. I said, can't you hear that thing clicking? No, at first, but you get used to it. They wake me up at night for something. Go, tick, 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 or whatever it does. And then he said, we can put a part of a pig's heart in there or part of a cow's heart in there. So if you ask her, I told her how to answer that question. When he said, what kind of heart do you have? Just go, well, enough of that foolishness. We're all over with it. Several years ago, I picked up a message by R.G. Lee. I want to follow an outline of that message this morning, and I pray that the Lord will help us to come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that the Spirit of God will fall fast and fresh upon every one of us this morning. We all need it. Thank you that the pastor and his wife are back, and it's always good to return. And Father, we thank Thee for their presence here and for the way You've used him over these years and for the dedicated people who come here. And we do pray for all of our military personnel during this time and all those that are affected. But Lord, we pray that the outcome will be glorious, and for Thy name's sake, we pray that it will be just exactly what we need, a wake-up call, Lord. We are so liturgical, and help us now to love more and to live better and to do Thy will under all circumstances, no matter what takes place publicly and in our government. We pray for our officials. We pray for all of those who are in charge and have authority. Change their hearts toward Thee, we pray. We ask in Jesus' name the blessings upon this message. And all the people said, amen. I want you to turn with me, if you will, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians, and 2 Corinthians, I want you to locate the 4th chapter of 2 Corinthians. I've never heard anybody preach a message like this, but I did read a message that had this outline, and several years ago, I adopted it. And we're reading from 2 Chronicles chapter 4, beginning with verse number 3. I'm sorry, Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Chronicles, I want to say it again. There's something to do with Chronicles. You better read that this morning. It may help us all. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that this message will open our hearts. May we see thee by the time we leave this building, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The face of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is his face like? If Jesus walked into this building today, clothed as we clothe ourselves in modern day, would you see something that would make him different than anybody else in this building? We sure would. The Vatican houses the world's largest art gallery. In the Vatican, I'm told, there are literally millions of dollars hanging on the walls, canvas, paint upon them by some of the most famous artists. But they all lose their glory when you look into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. They become as nothing. We were in France for our ministry, and they wanted to take us down to the Louvre. And I went. You know how much time I spent in there? About 10 or 15 minutes at the most. I wanted to see the Mona Lisa. That big crowd around her. I walked in, took one peek, and I said, well, I've seen that before, and I left. And I stood out in the hallway, and I said, when you all get finished, come by and pick me up. I'll be right here. I suppose I wanted to look. I saw her. She did nothing for me. Maybe she does something for you. I don't know. She didn't think. But when you look at the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we can get a glimpse of Jesus this morning, I want to tell you, we'll all leave this building differently than we came in. If we can just get a glimpse of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to say some things that may surprise you, but they're biblical. So, what kind of a face is the face of Jesus? And if we can look and get a glimpse of his face, you know what you're going to find out? His face is a sad face. The face of the Lord Jesus Christ is a sad face. Isaiah 59 and verse 2, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Now, why is his face so sad? Because of our sad lives. Because of the way we live. The places we go, the way we act. The lack of representing Jesus Christ. Because of our sin, because of our wickedness. Because of our ungodly living, because of rejection, because of professing Christians who live contrary lives, can't get along with one another. We get upset because we have war and upset because of the gangs and the fighting. What's the difference? What's the difference? The Bible says to us, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and we know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. 1 John 3:15. We better check up on ourselves. We could be committing murder and not even realize it. If we hate, that's what the Bible says. The face of the Lord Jesus Christ has to be a sad face. But as we search the Scripture, we find out that his face is a shining face. Mount Hermon, 9,200 feet above sea level. And there the Bible says, and Matthew 17:2, his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was as white as light. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. John describes the Lord Jesus Christ on the Isle of Patmos. This is the most complete description, and I've never seen a picture like this description of the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 1, verse number 12. And John writes, And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. And his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as the flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. The Lord Jesus Christ, if he walked in this auditorium this morning, everyone would fall in front of him. This is not a happy-go-lucky Jesus.
Amen.
This is the sovereign Son of God. The one that had power to lay his life down and take it up again. And no religious leader has ever done anything like that or come close to it. And they bow to all kind of images today. And right now, while we're here, in this town, there are people in church that have more faith in Mary than they do. Aren't you glad you don't have to pray through Mary to get to Jesus? Aren't you glad? The Lord Jesus Christ, the blessed Son of Almighty God, his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. The brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. John on the Isle of Patmos describes it. Paul reveals his experience on the road to Damascus. Matthew describes, Luke testifies, John vouches. Paul declares his face was a shining face. The face of the Lord Jesus Christ is a shining face. The psalmist gave us this word in 80 and verse 7. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Now I want you to notice the face of the Lord Jesus Christ reflects us and the way we live. His face is sad because of our sin. His face is a shining face for our glory. And then we see his face was a stained face. This gets very personal. His face was stained because of my sin. Because of your sin. Because of the sin of the world. His face was a stained face. In Bethany, his face was stained with tears. Lord Jesus Christ came to Lazarus' tomb and wept. They said, My, how he loved him. Jesus loves us. Do you? Is his love reciprocal in your heart? Do you love him because he first loved us? We should. His face is a stained face. The Bible plainly says in John 11:35, Jesus wept. His face shed tears over Jerusalem. How oft do I have gathered you as a hen gathered chicks, and you would not. The face of the Lord Jesus Christ is a stained face. Not only stained with tears, but his face is stained with blood. I'm reading from Luke 22, verse 41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down, prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly and sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now, why is his face a shining face? Why is his face a stained face? for me, for you, individually, for everybody in this world. His face shed great drops of blood. And then it was stained not only with tears and blood, but spittle. They smote on him on the head with a reed and spat upon him. Mark 15:19. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Isaiah 15:6. What think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. Then they spit in his face and buffeted him. Why? Because of me. Because of you. Because of us. Because of the world. It's plain to see that God gave his Son to the world, but the world has not received his Son. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. But there's more. As we read the scripture, we find out that his face is not only stained with tears and blood, but his face is stained because it's a smitten face. Isaiah 50:6, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off my hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. He didn't turn away from it. Isaiah 53:4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Then did they spit on his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? Luke and John give us the same account. Think of it. A face whereupon was found no sin, no hatred, no hypocrisy, no deceit, no insecurity, no dishonesty, no cruel palms, calloused hands, hard knuckles found their mark upon his brow. Why? Because of us. The face of the Lord Jesus Christ, a smitten face. Luke and John give us the same account. No wonder we read his visage was so marred more than any man. Warren Wiersbe, back in 1964, preached my ordination message. He pastored in Covington, Kentucky, the Calvary Baptist Church. D.B. East, a great preacher there for many, many years, started the work. And he was followed him. He was his associate pastor. Wiersbe was the pastor's associate, and then he became the pastor. And he was coming home late one night. He had to take the babysitters home, and he was coming down a hill that leads into Covington, Kentucky, and a carload of drunk teenagers came across the median, hit him head on. And now when something happens to your pastor, I don't know how it gets around so quickly, but it does. And you know what I'm talking about. I mean just immediately. You take some of the things that have happened around here, just immediately everybody knows. And so one of the people that found out was working in the emergency room that night. And word got to this lady and the nurse, and so she was working frantically, and she kept looking for a pastor to come in, looking for a pastor to come in. And she was doing her responsibility to her job, looking for a pastor to come in. You know what she found out? She was working over her pastor, and she was that far from his face and did not recognize her pastor. And I've forgotten how many stitches had to be taken to reform his face. If you had known Jesus before Calvary, you would not have recognized him hanging on the cross. Now, I've never seen the Passion or whatever they call it. I've never seen it. But there's no way to describe what Jesus Christ went through for us. I heard Dolphus Price one time explain the crucifixion by one phrase I'll never forget. It was ingrained indelibly into my thinking. He said his ribs were like fingers of ivory that stuck out of buckets of blood. You would not have recognized Jesus Christ on Calvary. That's what the Bible says. His visage was so marred more than any man. More than any man. All of this for me, for you, for us. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. This is what the Scripture says. In the political arena, there are always those that oppose someone seeking a high office. General John B. Gordon was governor of Georgia. He was running for the Senate of the United States of America. He was a general in the war between the states. They felt if they could find somebody that fought with him but opposed him politically, it would go a long way in defeating him for his quest for a seat in the Senate of the United States. They found such a man. He fought for the general, and he disagreed with him politically. And the general was supposed to make a speech, and this man, under a cue, was to stand up and say things about him and against him so that he could be defeated politically. So the general started speaking. And into his speech, the signal was given by the opposition, it's time for you to get up now and publicly oppose him. We know we can defeat him by you doing that. So they gave the signal, but the man didn't move. They gave the signal again, and the man didn't move. And the general went on uninterrupted, and when he finished, the opposition ran up to him and said, "Man, didn't you see the signal?" He said, "I saw your signals. You disagree with him. I disagree with him. Well, why didn't you do what you were supposed to do?" He said, I've not seen the general since the war has been over. This is the first time I looked at him. And when I looked upon his face, although I disagree with him politically, because of his valor and the way he fought, and I even owe my life to him, even though I disagree with him, I could not speak out against him when I looked upon his face. The face of the Lord Jesus Christ is a set face for you, for me. All of this about his face is for us. Isaiah 50 and verse 7, "Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." Luke 9:51, "He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messenger before his face. And he said to Peter, 'Get thee behind me, Satan.'" He had his face set on us. He had his face set on the world. And he knew an eternal hell was awaiting every born individual if he had not gone to Calvary and died for you, for me, for those outside this building, in this city, in this United States, in the world. Jesus Christ laid his life down. And he said, "If I lay it down, I can pick it up again." And he's done that. And he's ascended to heaven. And any moment now, the trumpet could sound, the voice, the archangel, and the dead in Christ would rise first, and we which are alive remain shall be caught up to meet them in the Lord. "Get thee behind me, Satan." Face a set face. A set face. And then, as we look at the Scripture, we find out his face is a scorching face. John 2:15 through 17, "And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple,
My house shall be a house of prayer. Ye made it a den of thieves.
Guess they were playing bingo back in those days. The Bible teaches us. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. His face was a set face. And then his face, this scorching face. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. I suppose one of the saddest portions of scriptures in the Bible is just 3 verses from the book of the Revelation. Just 3 verses. Revelation chapter 6, verse 15. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us. They said, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and for the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? No one. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. Saddest verse in the Bible. And then his face was a shrouded face. His face was a shrouded face. He said to his disciples, watch and pray. And the third time they were sleeping, somebody said, that's one commandment the church has kept. Sleep on now, take your rest. And the disciples were exhorted to pray. Watch and pray, watch and pray. Because his hour had come. Many times he said, my hour has not yet come. But now his hour has come. And I can imagine that those disciples were alerted by the marching of feet. In the distance, here are soldiers. And they must have an important mission at this hour of the night. And the torches were burning. And as the disciples watched, and as this group of soldiers came in their direction, and the lights were brighter, and the reflection off of their steel breastplates and their armor. And they came right up into the garden. And one emerged and placed a kiss upon Jesus. Do you know what you can do? You can kiss the door of heaven and go straight to hell if you do not put your faith and trust in him. And that's what Judas did. And they came and apprehended the Lord Jesus Christ. I just read an article somewhere the other day that really was interesting. Malchus. Peter must have been a poor swordsman. He just cut the guy's ears off. He was trying to cut his head off. And Malchus' ear was on the ground. And now this is the enemy of Jesus. And Jesus very carefully walked over, picked that ear up and put it back on Malchus. Wonder what became of Malchus. You know, I wouldn't be a bit surprised, preacher, if we didn't see him in heaven. I mean, he could have walked away from there and said, there's not even any blood here. No, the only blood he knew about was what Jesus gave for his soul on the cross. And I kind of believe we'll see him in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ has a shrouded face. A shrouded face. Low in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Death could not keep his prey. Death. He overcame death. I like that. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor of the dark domain. He lives forever with his saints to reign. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christ arose. His face will be a seen face. Every eye shall see him. We shall see him as he is. My mind goes back to the painting of the Lord's Supper. The artist was standing on the other side of a thin veil. And when they dropped the covering, people gasped. And then something strange happened. They all started focusing on the cup. Look at the cup. Oh, the jewels look real, the diamonds and the rubies and all the sapphire, the stones. It looks real. And the artist heard all he wanted to hear. He went up to his painting, and with a few skillful strokes, he painted out the beautiful cup, and an earthen vessel was put in its place. And they said, oh, you've run the cup, you've run the... He said, it's my attention to my pictures. And the Lord Jesus Christ must be the center of interest in anything that takes place. Or is more interesting to the people than the Lord Jesus Christ in my paintings, it has to go. And we need to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. Psalm 27:8. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, I shall see. I shall know him. I shall know him. That's written by Fanny Crosby. A blind woman had a better knowledge of the face of the Lord Jesus Christ than those of us who have seen. And redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him. I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hand. Have you put your faith and trust in Christ? Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, do a work in our hearts this morning. Bless this invitation time. Lord, we pray for those here this morning that have been born again, but they're just not living the way that we're expected to live as newborn babes in Christ. And I know that anyone living contrary to the life of a Christian that's set forth in God's Word so plain and so simple, that there must be some way of desiring to be more like the Jesus, more like the Lord Jesus. And Father, we pray for anyone here this morning that has been saved and is not living the way that thou hast expected us to live. For those here who have never truly put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, may they do so today, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together, please. I know we have a song ready to sing. You'll lead us in a song. Pastor, you know your folks. Would you come, please, and give our invitation this morning?
I'm just going to have the pianist play. We don't need to sing. You're here tonight, and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. This one that he spoke about today, this one he spoke about looking at his face. Have you ever looked at the face of Jesus Christ? Has there been a time in your life that you know that you've asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior? If you're here today, and you do not know whether you die today, you go to heaven or not, you need to take care of that today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you think about that for a moment in the quietness of this hour as we listen to the music? A song she's playing is, I Come, I Come. Would you come today and say, today I want to be sure I'm saved. Today I want to be sure I'm on my way to heaven. Do you know that? Have there been a time in your life you realize you're a sinner and because you sin, you are a terrible price? That terrible price is death and hell forever. That's why Jesus Christ came to this earth and suffered so much so that you and I could go to heaven someday. Wouldn't that be a terrible thing if you
we're given the opportunity to hear about Jesus and hear all the wonderful things that he did for you, and you walk away and say, I don't need that. I don't believe that. I don't have nothing to do with that. But the Bible said at the point out a man wants to die and then the judgment, there is coming a day that you will bow your knee before the Almighty God. And you will admit that you're a sinner. And if you do not receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will burn in hell forever and ever and ever and ever. It's not a fairy tale. It's the truth. God said so. God said it. And that settles it. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. You know, I've gone through life thinking about it, wondering about it, but I'm not sure about it. I'm going to come down here in front. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Boy, I'd sure like to know that Christian frame now. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. You come right now. Are you sure you're saved? Have you asked Jesus Christ in your heart? The thing that changed me, I was 22 years old. I was holding my little baby boy. And the preacher was preaching, said, you realize that if you do not receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you die, you will never see that baby again. Whoa, man, that was like a sword that hit my heart. I thought in my heart, what do you mean I'll never see my baby again? If you go to hell, you'll never see your baby again. It's over. The Bible says that hell is a one-way street to it. There's no way getting out. Once you go to hell, you're done. Wouldn't it be great today that you would invite Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, right now, right here, right now? Say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Why don't you come right now? Let me show you from God's Word how you know for sure you died, that you go to heaven. Not here to make Baptists out of here. We're here to make you know for sure if you died today, you go to heaven. That's the whole call right here. You hear today and say, preacher, I've been saved, but I have not followed the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism. That's down in the water and up out of the water, illustrating the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why don't you come right now? Why don't you come and say, preacher, I want to do that. You're here today and say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. Why don't you come at this time? Again, you're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Are you on your way to heaven? Has there been a time in your life you've asked Jesus in your heart? If there hasn't, let me show you from God's Word. Let me show you from the precious book of Jesus Christ that you know Christ is your Savior. Why don't you come? You hear him say, preacher, I haven't followed Lord and believer's baptism. I need to do that. You come. You hear today and say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. We want to serve God here. Why don't you come at this time? Now, precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. And we thank you for the Word of God we've heard. Sobering message. Sobering to the think that our Creator of this magnificent universe, in fact, eyes have not seen nor ears have heard what really is all about. And you have come to this earth, this blood, sweat, tear earth, to give your life. You, the Creator, the magnificent, the perfect God, came to this earth and put on the form and the flesh of mankind, and prove to all mankind that without sin you can live perfect. But there's none of us can. Because our father Adam sinned and it passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And now we owe a terrible price. That's death and hell. Dear God, today you've offered it to us. You've offered us free salvation. All we have to do is say, God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and be my personal Savior. Dear God, I pray today, if there's anyone here that's not saved, that they pray that prayer. And folks, if you'd like to pray with me right now, say, Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart. Save me right here and right now. Lord, I pray you'd speak to these folks' hearts and help us, Lord, to realize how important it is to live by the Word of God. I pray for Brother Brown and his wife. Pray, God, as they minister us in the next few days, that we'd have open ears, open hearts, that we'd give ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.